Corwin fans. I'm your host, Mary Rectoris.
And I'm your co-host, Mila Taylor. Stellar Women shines a light on female leaders making their mark in tech.
This episode is our third time ever doing our year in review. And as per tradition, we are reflecting on the year and bringing in this year's Stellar Woman Innovation Award winner. So we're really excited to soon bring in Kenya Dixon.
But before chatting with Kenya, we wanted to share some quick highlights from Stellar Women this year. For one, we had some amazing guests on the podcasts. Shout out to everyone who joined us this year and those allies who joined us as well. Our 2019 Stellar Women winner, Stephanie Clarkin, and then Inez Rubio, Cassie Parker, Candace Corby, Susan Wartzman, Maribel Rivera, Leslie Chan, Kamika Martin, Rachel Bilstein, Heidi Giroux, Raji Kaur, Joanne Fung, Kim Oliver, and Sati Soni.
Too, Mila and I loved having some of our Relativity colleagues on here, whether that was Blair Heidenreich walking us through a lesson on improv, to Karima Campbell sharing how many are navigating these uncertain times. So thanks to all the Relativians who joined us. We truly think you all are stellar. So shout out to Winnie Lay, Lilita Jundo, Claire Longworth, Megan Twybel, Janice Holman, Bernadette Ford, and Betty Wynn. And in addition to some of the Relativians, we also had some allies on the podcast to share some of their insights and thoughts. From Relativity, we had JC Steinbrenner and Jonathan Hill. And we also had Terrence Sorrell from Outlaw and Michael Aland from MT3. And allyship is so important, not only to us for the podcast, but for elevating women in any industry. We need our allies to help drive our message and further their careers for all-star female professionals.
So yeah, just a plus one and a big shout out to all of our allies. Another thing that was really crazy this year was we all went virtual, including the Innovation Awards.
For sure. And even though we were virtual, I think we found a cool way to engage with our community. And we really loved working with some of our Stellar Women finalists this year at Fest. So thanks to Lakeisha Barclay, Sarah Sims Thompson, and Kenya Dixon. When we had them on the Stellar Women podcast, we talked about gender equity and how that can really help organizations not only retain, but hire top talent.
And Jonathan was the co-host for that one. He did a wonderful job replacing me, I must say. Another thing is that we had such good engagement during Relativity Fest this year during the Stellar Women Takeover. So keep your eyes peeled for some programming coming in 2021. We love chatting with you. We love the real-time questions and interactions. So we're really going to try put some stuff together to continue that conversation and let us all keep connecting with each other.
Awesome. So with that, why don't we bring on Kenya?
Go Kenya.
Go Kenya.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, ladies. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. I mean, it's a sunny day. We don't have snow yet, but and we're healthy and busy and productive. So lots to be grateful for.
So we have so much that we want to talk to you about. So I am going to jump right in. And let's start with you winning the Stellar Women Innovation Award. So what was it like learning you won the award, and why is it important for you to elevate women in tech, and how can we continue to support each other?
Well, let me tell you, I was so excited to learn that I had won this award. I'm very, very excited to be recognized by the industry and by Relativity. I was so excited. And so my friends and family were excited for me because I talk about the industry. I talk about our work. I talk about Relativity quite frequently. And so they were happy for me. I was happy for me. And so we're just happy. So thank you again for that. With regards to women in the technical industry, you know, I was a litigator for a number of years. I'm a lawyer. And I remember sitting in a meeting many, many years ago, and the partner that we worked for saying, the law belongs to women. And so women get out there and market, and I will support you. And the interesting thing about that is that partner, his name was Ken Weckstein, he was very aggressive in supporting the women that worked for him. And that made a difference in how I felt about marketing and how I felt about myself and how it changed my understanding of who I was in that space. And I think that type of support of women makes it easier for women to recognize their own skills, what they bring to the marketplace. Women are fabulous innovators, work twice as hard for half as much pay. Women contribute so much to any industry that we're heavily involved in, but we usually are very afraid to put ourselves out there. You need someone to say to you, wow, you're dynamic, you're smart, you're innovative, you're going to really be the difference between where we are and where we're going. So I hope to be that for other women in the industry, just like so many people have been for me.
And Kenya, if somebody doesn't have that champion, maybe they're newer to a company, newer to an industry, and don't have that person to really push them and validate their work ethic and who they are as a professional, what advice would you have for them to kind of build their network and find those champions who can be that voice for them?
I think it's, if you don't get it naturally and organically in your workplace, I think there are a number of things you can do to reach out to other people. And you don't have to just reach out to women. Many of my mentors over the years have been men. I think men are wonderful mentors for women when they're willing to be that. If you find somebody that you connect with. I think also just trying to connect with people on a very human basis. So recently I've started doing this thing where when I meet women who I find are stellar, I ask them if they would want to have a virtual lunch or a virtual coffee. And it's not even business related. It's just like, hey, let's connect. And I think when you connect with a number of really smart, women in your industry or in any industry, you learn a lot of different things. I would also say connecting with people who are not in your industry, that's important for your growth. And I'll give you an example. I was reading a book about how to be a chief operating officer. I had never been a chief operating officer. So I was reading a book on it. And I think you can read a book, you can look at podcasts, listen to podcasts, there are lots of materials out there. And so I was reading a book and my boss said to me, hey, that's an interesting book that you're reading. I said, yeah, I'm learning a lot because I don't know how to do this job yet, but I'm looking. And I said, I've done most of these things before, but I've never done anything with regards to sustainability. And he said, really? Sustainability is really hot. I was like, yes, apparently CEOs and boards are looking for people with skill sets, but also they must include sustainability. And he said, well, I sit on a board, for sustainability for some county. He was like, I'll invite you onto the board. Just having the conversation is really important. So just conversations and pulling resources from any place you can to learn, to keep growing.
I think that's a great point too, kind of expanding beyond your industry, because there's so many talented women out there and we all face similar challenges, whether it's, not having your voice heard effectively. I don't think that's solely the tech industry. So finding whether it's friends or even your LinkedIn connections, you can just have a conversation and bounce ideas off one another.
Reach out to people you know are rock stars. I have reached out to cybersecurity experts, including Amanda Fennell at Relativity, many, many, many times. I am not afraid to call up cybersecurity people and pick their brain and have conversations about that with them. Will I ever be a cybersecurity expert? No, because that's not, I don't have time to do that full time, but I need to speak the language. I need to know what the requirements are and what the industry is asking. I need to be updated on the latest FireEye, breach or government breach. I need to be aware of those things. So calling up someone who has an expertise and having a conversation with them, people love talking about what they do. So no one has ever said to me, Kenny, I'm not going to have that conversation with you about my industry. Amanda loves talking about cybersecurity and she's a rock star, right? So I would say just call people and have conversations.
I think that's such a good point. And I think some people, maybe getting on the phone and calling people is a hurdle in themselves. But I think there's so many avenues now where you can reach out to people, especially now everyone's remote. I feel like you can reach out to people on LinkedIn. You can send them an email. There's just so many ways to get in touch with people and build those relationships. And I think that that's such a good, tangible piece of advice. So thanks for sharing that. So on the podcast episode with the finalists, you mentioned that this year will be important in terms of focusing on the planning and the strategy of your team's processes and plans. So what tips do you have for listeners who may be finding it a little bit hard to devote time to the strategy part of their work? And what have you found successful when planning for what's to come?
So I have a vision of where I think I want things to go. And I always start with a really big dream. And I always say dream big. So I started with, this is a goal for the company and it's a 3-year goal. And this is how much we need to earn. And these are the industries we need to be in. And all of that's in my head. I have a lot of conversations in my head, and oftentimes they seep out of my mouth. And so I walk around talking to myself, especially early in the morning and late at night. I'm having these conversations about, okay, what's the next step? I need to do this. What do I need to do that? Where do I want to go? And I start with a really large, extremely unrealistic dream. And then I write that dream down. And it's so funny because we refer to my refrigerator as the magic refrigerator, because when I have a really large dream, I write it down and I put it on the refrigerator. I think it's really important to visualize, to see your end goal, and then start working towards that goal. And you can then jot down, you know, what are the next steps, and take bite sizes of strategy and steps, and who do I need to help me with this? Who do I need to ask for this? What are the resources I need to accomplish this? Is that realistic? And you will change directions a little bit. But if you're working towards that goal, then I think what happens is you're progressing, and you're progressing rapidly. Now, I had a lot of people say, my gosh, you move through things so rapidly, because I create really large magical dreams that people say are impossible. Plenty of CEOs have told me my dreams for this company are impossible. I just say, okay. Now, if I miss that goal, that's fine. But you better believe that we have accomplished and we will be progressing through a lot. Because dreaming big and visualizing that is the first step. Or maybe those are two steps. Maybe having the big dream and then visualizing it. The industry doesn't realize that there are names of companies that I desire to acquire on my refrigerator. And when I have company, I take those names down off the refrigerator and put them in the drawer. So in case someone from one of the companies shows up, I don't want people to be terrified about me buying their company. But I mean, that's how I dream. I have always put the goals on the refrigerator. Not everyone does that. Some people have vision boards. Some people keep lists or journals. But I do think getting it out of your head, if you can visualize it, getting it out of your head and onto a piece of paper somewhere or someplace where you can see it regularly, puts it out there and it makes you work towards it.
That's great. Yeah, Mila, that reminds me of our recent episode with Heidi and Rachel. We were talking about five-year plans and how it's often the dreaded question. But I think, as Heidi said, if you don't think through where you want to go and what that big dream is, you might be in the same spot, which is fine if you're content and happy with that. But for a lot of people, you don't want to be looking back where, I wish I would have thought about this more strategically.
You often never end up exactly at the same place, right? But where you end up is so amazing. It's so amazing. Like, I had a goal. I knew I was going to go here. I was going to do that. I was going to try this. But other things, you know, other things get in the way of that. And if you keep progressing towards a goal, magical things happen. That's just the way the universe works. And you've got to, you know, you've got to work hard toward them or toward those goals. But my girlfriends and I, we always say, have a plan, work the plan. And it gets you to the next step.
And so you started your career, Kenya, as a litigator, then went into the government sector, and now you're at Empire Technologies Risk Management Group. So you've kind of maybe not pivoted careers as much as different sectors that you've been embedded in. So I think the new year, especially this year, 2020 being kind of crazy, it brings a big time of reflection. And there might be some people that are considering switching titles or industries or whatever that may be. So what advice would you give for people that are contemplating that shift? And what did you find successful for moving from one sector to another?
I would say before you leave, sit down and figure out what you've learned at that job. If you haven't yet learned anything there and there's something for you to learn, stay and learn it. Learn something wherever you are. And then if you want to jump. You know, every 3 years, 3 and a half years, if you move on to something different, that's fine. Because again, there are so many building blocks that you have to achieve to get to the next step. Your career really is a jungle gym. It's really seldomly a ladder. I know, I think one person that I've ever met has had a career that is just one company, went to a company as an intern, went to that company when they graduated. They're still many years later at that company and they're steadily going up the ladder at that company. I know one person like that. Everyone else, it's a jungle gym. So you jump around back and forth here, but make sure you learn something at every stop. Every pivot needs to be a learning opportunity where you grasp something new, you get a new skill set that you can take with you to the next job or two or three jobs down.
That's great advice. And I also think it's great advice for people to just practice doing that at their current job, even if you're not thinking about leaving. Something that I found helpful is, you know, it's almost like building my resume while I'm still at my job, just to keep like a mental list of the things that I'm learning and achieving, because, you know, you could look back at 2 years and be like, what have I actually done? But when you actually break it down and you sit and you look at the things you've accomplished, like, you surprise yourself. And I think it kind of can be like an enriching and an empowering exercise to do. So I love that, like, devoting time to actually thinking about what I have learned, what I have achieved, whether you are ready to make a jump or not, just as a way to, you know, self-gratification and just keep empowering yourself and keep motivating yourself to keep learning.
You know, one of the interesting things about being in the government is that you have these performance reviews, these performance evaluations, where you have to fill out for your supervisor what you think you've accomplished. And in preparation for that every year, I, you know, was keeping a list of all the things that I accomplished. And they did this personality assessment and said that I was a driver, right? So I'm driving towards a goal, a product, a project. I'm driving all the time. That's just my personality. And so I was keeping a list of everything, because in the government, you have to go to this evaluation. You have to document it and send it to your manager so your manager can feed it back to you with some feedback about your performance. What that made me realize was that, one, I'm a highly productive person, right? But a lot of people are productive and don't know it. And so a lot of times when you get into a slump at work and you feel like you're not satisfied, go back and look at what you've accomplished, document it out so that you can, you know your value, you know what you've done. You also know what projects you haven't completed that maybe you need to run back to and seal that up. And what projects can you take on? I think when you see what you've done, then you know what you can do. Then that's the place where you say, well, there's a void here. I could then build something else. And so I think documenting what you've done is really important.
That's a great, that reminds me of a conversation I had with Karima Campbell, who's in our UK office. We were talking more about imposter syndrome with women and how often we face that. We're, am I good enough to do this? Am I excelling? Right. She just says, you know, she just writes down in her notebook when she thinks she did something well. Those days where you feel like you're might not be good enough, you'd kind of read those, you're like, wow, I really am doing well, and kind of a pick me up, which I think is important for men and women in your professional careers.
Remember too, the world will try to beat you back down into a box if they're given a chance. I mean, someone just wrote an article telling Jill Biden to take the doctor off her name because she's not actually a PhD. I mean, it's a ridiculous article, and people responded to it. The reality is, we are always feeling the pressure of being beaten back into our box. And so you get to a certain age when you see through that. There are certain experiences that come that you can see through that. You can push that aside and still move forward. Really important to jot down your accomplishments so you can see them. And that helps you break out of the box that others may be trying to put you in.
And talking about, you know, your accomplishments at work, kind of pivoting to outside of work. When we chatted earlier in the year, you mentioned how your interests are constantly evolving and changing. And I think last time we spoke, you said you were into entertaining and tablescaping, which I'm sure took an interesting turn this year with, you know, the lack of entertaining. So considering Mary and I, we're always looking for new hobbies because I think we feel like we have none. Have you picked up any fun hobbies this year?
Well, I haven't given up on the tablescaping. Instead, what I did was I started buying books on home decor and decorating and tablescaping and some antiques books and that sort of things. And so I've been learning in that field, learning about things for the home. But I used to be a golfer, and I golfed all the time, and it got me out. Every Saturday morning I was up, and Sunday morning I was up, and I spent all day outside golfing. Even as it got colder, I'd still go to the driving range. And I haven't done that for years. And I was in a storage unit pulling out Christmas decorations and saw my golf clubs. And my heart just was like, so my announcement is that I'm going back to golf.
Oh, love that.
I love golf, but I used to live in Florida. Now I live in Washington, D.C. So there's a place here called Top Golf that is out by the harbor. I think I'm going to run out one weekend and see if I still have a swing. It's a wonderful sport. It can be expensive. Back then, I bought all the shoes. I think I still have 12 pairs of golf shoes, all the outfits, which I can no longer fit. I have all the equipment. I'm going to dig it all out and I'm going to go back to it because I think it's, you know, I saw the clubs and I just thought, this is it.
I just asked for my like holiday present to get a golf lesson. So yeah, I when I told my dad that I was interested in golf, I mean, he obviously knows me really well. And I tend to be someone who kind of appreciates instant gratification over like a delayed gratification. He was like, I got to tell you, this is not going to be your sport. Like, he's like, I've been playing golf my whole life and I still suck. So good luck.
I don't think the goal is to be like a great golfer. I think the goal is to get through the, you know, all of the holes and get to the clubhouse. That's the goal.
So you can have a good lunch.
Have a good lunch, a good couple of drinks and some laughs, and you'll get one good shot in for the, and you just talk about that shot for a whole week.
So Kenya, whether professionally or personally, what's 2020 taught you about yourself?
I don't mind being alone in the house for hours at a time, days, weeks, months at a time. I've never really minded being alone in my own space because, again, I'm always thinking about stuff and I'm having those conversations about what's, you know, what should happen next in my head. I learned that it's okay to take the time to be careful. You know, we spend so much time. I have spent years racing through my life. And this year, I wasn't able to just race through everything. And so it's okay. I had more time to think and strategize and plan and speak to. I'm sending out holiday cards this year. I haven't done that in 20 years. I mean, so that's a good thing. I'm reaching out to people and saying, hey, what's your address? What's your, you know, where are you at these days? How's it going? Let's have a virtual lunch. Let's have virtual coffee. And I'm keeping in touch with people that I would normally keep in touch with in different ways. Not everyone has to come to your house for dinner or coffee or for cocktails. Just call a person and say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? I think I've learned that about myself. I think I've learned to look for good leadership. I don't know that every leader is a good leader. And so I think I've seen for the first time, we've had good leaders countrywide, corporate business-wide, government-wide, and in every aspect of many of our lives for many, many years. And I think understanding what good leadership looks like is something that I'm now getting a feel for. I understand more how important that is. And so I look for that in myself. Am I a good leader? Where can I improve in my leadership abilities? Where can I grow in those abilities? It's certainly, I understand now that if you are a driver, you often are impatient. So breathe and take a step back and let your staff and people that work with you do things at their own pace too.
Those are good ones. And so that's 2020. What should you and I guess and our listeners be on the lookout for in 2021?
In the industry, I think shoring up the cybersecurity around, you know, the legal industry is going to be a really big deal. Cybersecurity is going to really go to the next level. I think we tried in the government sector to be the most secure environment. I think this week we realized that if you are targeted, eventually a nation state can get in. So number one, try not to be targeted, right? Try to kind of obfuscate where your data is located. But two, what are the steps necessary just to get through basic data security? And then how to build on that for the entire industry. And I think cybersecurity for healthcare, I read this week that for the first time, we're seeing that cybersecurity breaches can cause death, right? That they're causing deaths in hospitals and causing vehicles, self-driving vehicles and different any sort of machinery that could be attached to the internet in some way could be breached. We're seeing that with regards to voting, that's a discussion and a conversation. So our lives are so connected to the internet that I think data security is going to come to the forefront for everyone. In our industry, keeping data safe is probably going to be our number one call. And I would say to people, look at the Association of Corporate Counsel Data Steward Program. Empire Technologies Risk Management Group is the only recommended accredited service provider for the services connected around the ACC Data Steward Program. And we really are serious about data security. It's a must. All of the work that we do, e-discovery, the practice of law, information governance, record keeping, all that stuff is going to fall away, especially privacy stuff, if we can't get a hold of the security. And I think 2021 is going to be a year of data security. We're going to come back strong. I think we'll see more entrepreneurs, more companies pop up. I think we'll see small companies. I think we'll start to see the money flow into data security companies. I think we'll see that as a growth industry attached to e-discovery, attached to the practice of law, attached to healthcare and privacy. And I think boards will start to ask for former CISOs and data security professionals to sit on the board and help corporations get a hold of that process within an organization.
Kenya, we got through a lot, and it's always so fun to talk to you, and glad that you are well.
It's lovely to see you guys, and this has been a wonderful opportunity to have this conversation. I always love talking to you guys. You're a lot of fun, and you're smart, and that's good. But let's do it again.
Wow. Thanks so much, Kenya. And for Stellar Woman, I'm Mary Rectoris.
And I'm Mila Taylor.
Signing off.